Thanks everybody for coming. Again, I think it's a tremendous privilege that we have the opportunity to work for an organization that supports the learning of Torah both outside and also internally. And I think it's a big schus that I have the opportunity to share with you some ideas that come out of this week's Parsha. I'd like to, if everybody could have in mind for Refuah Shleima, Adina Esther Gittel Bas Chaya Fega, Refuah Shleima B'Sarech Shar Chal Yisrael, should be a schus for her that she'd have Refuah Shleima. We'll start off with the topic of the discussion, which starts out with the question of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos and trying to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu did it. The Pasuk in this week's Parsha says that when he came down from Har Sinai and he saw what was going on, Vayichar Af Moshe, he got very upset, he got very angry, Vayashlech Miyodav HaSaluchos, and he threw down the tablets, the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos, Vayishabra Osam Tachas Ahar, and he broke them. So the question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu have the, what shall I say, in Yiddish they say the plates, how did he have the strength of decision to do something like that? It wasn't his to break. I mean, if Hashem gave him the luchos to give to Klal Yisrael, if he saw that Klal Yisrael was not ready for it based on their actions, it wasn't his to break. He should have gone back to the top of the mountain and left it there and said, you know, Klal Yisrael is not ready for it, take it back. It wasn't his to break. Why did he break the luchos? And what was his cheshbon? I think that what we're going to try and do today is, in the process of answering this question, is also explain one of the great attributes of Moshe Rabbeinu that is probably not as well known as the fact that he was the greatest Navi that ever lived, and the fact that the Torah tells us that he was also the greatest Anav, Vayish Moshe Anav Maod Mikol Adam. What we're going to discuss in the process of trying to understand his actions in breaking the Luchos is understanding one of his great character traits that is unique to Moshe Rabbeinu and is a lesson for all the great leaders of Klal Yisrael. So what makes it more fascinating is that the Gemara tells us that this act of breaking the Luchos, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us two things about it. First of all, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu did three things on his own without consulting with anybody, without consulting with Hashem, and Hashem was maskim. Hashem agreed to his action. One of the three things was the fact that he broke the Luchos. The same Gemara, the same Amid, the Gemara says, Rish Lakish says, after Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashakoch Sheshibarta. Yashakoch for breaking the Luchos. So we see that not only did Moshe Rabbeinu have some kind of cheshbon that he came up with on his own without consulting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which seems to be, you know, pretty big thing to take upon yourself. Hashem was maskim, and Hashem said Yashakoch for what you did. So let's go to the beginning of Sefer Shemos to get an understanding of some of the character traits of Moshe Rabbeinu and why Hashem chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader, to be the Moshiach, the one to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, out of the exile of Egypt. So in Parsha Shemos, in the beginning, it says one of the first things we see about Moshe Rabbeinu says, right after Shlishi, it says, Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe became great. I mean, he was living in the palace, raised by none other than Pharaoh and his daughter Basya. It says, Vayetze Alechov. Despite the fact that he had all the comforts and the greatness, the gedula of being in the palace, he went out to his brothers, Vayar b'sivlosam, and he saw in their troubles, in their pain. And it says, the story of the Ish Mitzri hitting the Ish Ivri, but the point is Vayar b'sivlosam. He saw their troubles, he saw their pain, and the Medrash tells us a little more detail, to give you an example. It says that he went out amongst the people to see what was going on, and it says, Uvoche, the Medrash Rabbah says, Uvoche, he was crying, Vomer, and he says, Chavali aleichem, woe is to me because of you, Miyiten musi aleichem, if only Hashem would allow me to die in your behalf, She'en lecha, to save you from these tsaris. She'en lecha melacha kasha mimelacha satit. Because there's no harder work than the work of the cement and the building of the pyramids and whatever they were busy with. Vayenosen k'seifa v'messiah l'chalechad v'echad mehen. And he actually leaned over and lent a hand to everybody that he had the opportunity to help. Then the Medrash quotes another opinion that says, not another opinion, another description. He saw a person, a big person carrying a small load, a small person carrying a large load, and he saw a man carrying the load for a woman and a woman carrying the load for a man. In other words, it was not equitable. And he went and switched the load so that people that are capable of carrying the proper weight and the proper load would be more appropriately distributed. And he did this in such a way, obviously risking looking like he was showing favoritism to the Jews. He did it in such a way that he would show the Egyptians that he's doing it to be more productive, so that Pharaoh would be more productive. But in essence, he was doing it to alleviate the load and the burden of the Jewish people. So Hashem says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata hanachta iskecha, you left the palace. You didn't have to go out into the amongst the people and see and participate and help. V'alachta liras b'tzaren shel Yisrael, and you went to see the pain of the Jewish people. V'nahakta ben minik achim, and you showed a brotherly behavior towards them. Ani maniach esel yonves atachtonim, I will leave the heavens and the earth, and I will speak with you alone. So we see from Vayarbis of Losam, it's very important to understand, Vayigdal Moshe, as great as he was, and he could have lived in the comforts of the palace and not made himself known to his brothers and not go out of his way to help them, and nevertheless, he did. When Hashem appears to him, by the sneh, it's interesting. The Medrash says that if you learn the pasuk straightforward, it says Moshe Rabbeinu saw something peculiar. He said, "Let me see what's going on here." Asur nov eris hamara gadol azeh. Let me go take a look at this unbelievable vision. Madu ala yiver hasneh. Why is the bush not being consumed? So then the pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem kisor lirois." Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had stopped to pay attention. So Hashem called out to him and said, Moshe, Moshe, and started to speak to him. Now, Pashat, you learn this pasuk, you say that what it says, Vayar Hashem kisar liris. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu stopped to pay attention. What stopping to pay attention are we referring to? You would say that he noticed the burning bush. It looked peculiar, so he decided, what's going on here? And Hashem called out to him and said, Moshe, Moshe. And that's when the first dibur of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu started. But the Medrash, consistent with the earlier Medrash I mentioned, said the Vayar Hashem Kisar Lirois goes back to the Vayar Bisiv Losam. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu felt the pain of his brethren and went out of his way to help them. And because of that, Vayar Hashem Kisar Lirois, because he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to help the Jewish people and to feel their pain, that is why Hashem chose to speak to him directly. And that gives us a little bit of an introduction of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. There's another medrash that says, let me continue. It talks about why some of the great leaders of Klal Yisrael were shepherds. It says that Hashem chooses some of the leaders by the way they handle sheep. Medrash talks about David HaMelech, but we'll focus just on Moshe Rabbeinu. Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was tested with how he handled sheep, because the beginning also in the parasha, it also introduces Moshe Rabbeinu in Parasha Shmos as a roeh. Moshe hayaroeh, he was a shepherd. What's the significance of that? So the Medrash says that Hashem tested him in how he handled the sheep. Medrash gives us a story that when he was taking care of the sheep for Yisro in the desert, so a gedi ran away. And it reached a certain destination. Moshe Rabbeinu ran after this gedi, and when it reached that destination, it appeared to stop right before a pool of water, and it started to drink. So Moshe Rabbeinu caught up to the gedi and said, "I didn't realize that you were running in this direction because you were thirsty. Had I known, I would have definitely taken care of you." Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad for the gedi, put the gedi on his shoulders, puts the gdi on his shoulders, and basically carried him back to the rest of the flock. So Hashem says, "Yesh lecha rachamim linok tzona shel basar v'dam." You have such rachmanis in taking care of and looking out for the flock of a basar v'dam. Kach hayecha, I swear, atasira tzona Yisrael. You will be the shepherd for my flock, Klal Yisrael. So we see a little bit from the Midrashim that it's Moshe Rabbeinu's concern for Klal Yisrael that made him the choice by Hashem both to speak to him directly and to be the one, the messenger through which Hashem, the Shliach, would take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So now if we could continue with some of the insights that the Midrashim give us, we can go to a Midrash in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa, fascinating Midrash. Midrash says that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he saw Klal Yisrael was serving the Egel, so it says, Rosh Ein Li Yisrael Amida, he saw that Klal Yisrael would not be able to withstand the Avera that they did and the punishment that they were deserving of, V'chavar Nafsha Imahem, and he decided to join their fate, V'shavar Es Haluchos, and he broke the Luchos. He said to Hashem, they sinned, Klal Yisrael sinned, now I've sinned, Sheshabarti Aluchos, because I broke the Luchos. If you forgive them, forgive me. And if you don't forgive them, then Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, then erase my name from the Sefer Torah, which is a very famous expression. So the Medrash continues and says, Lo Zaz Misham, he didn't leave his position until Hashem said that I've forgiven Klal Yisrael. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did, he knew was wrong. It wasn't his right to go and break the Luchos. It wasn't his Luchos to break. But he did it because, in effect, according to the Medrash, he wanted to save Klal Yisrael. He was the ultimate shepherd, as we saw from his traits earlier in the Medrash and Parsha Shmos. He was willing to sacrifice himself to save Klal Yisrael. Then the Medrash continues and says, after he did what he did, I guess he had a certain amount of regret, Moshe Rabbeinu, not for saving Klal Yisrael, but he was concerned about himself now. Amar Moshe, Harei Hoyel Yisrael, Mishi Yivakesh Aleihem. Klal Yisrael had somebody to speak up on their behalf and to save them from their fate of being destroyed. Ani, Mi Yivakesh Aleih. Who is going to do what I did for Klal Yisrael on my behalf? Because I did a terrible thing. I saved Klal Yisrael, but at the end of the day, I sinned by what I've done. Hitchil Mitztar Shibra Haluchos. So he was very pained by the fact that he broke the Luchos. So Hashem tells him, Al-Sitar B'Luchos, do not be pained with the breaking of the Luchos Rishonos. I'm going to give you Luchos Shnios, and the Luchos Shnios will have certain advantages and milas that the Luchos Rishonos did not have. So Hashem consoled him, and Hashem tells him that I have forgiven you. So we see that this trait of Moshe Rabbeinu to be concerned with Klal Yisrael went so far as to sacrifice his own fate for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem, realizing that he did this self-sacrifice, he did this for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, Hashem forgave him for it. Now this idea, I think, needs to be understood a little bit, because we need to understand Moshe Rabbeinu, aside from saving Klal Yisrael, we need to understand it a little bit more. Plus, I also want to take this concept and show how it explains some other actions in the Torah that otherwise would be difficult to understand about Moshe Rabbeinu. If we go back again to the beginning of Sefer Shemos, at the end of Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu, after going to Paro and telling him that Hashem would like the Jewish people to leave Egypt for 3 days to serve him in the desert, and the way the Egyptians and Paro responded was to say, okay, it looks like you've got too much time on your hands, we're going to take the straw away from you, and now you still have to produce the same amount. So Klal Yisrael were complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, look what happened, ever since you came, instead of helping us, you've made things worse. So Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the parasha turns to Hashem, and he says, Vayomer Hashem, Lama Harayos Olam Hazeh, why did you make such problems for this nation? Lama Zeh Shalachtani, why did you send me? This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Hashem. I don't think any of us would speak to, if we had the opportunity to speak to Hashem that way. How do we understand Moshe Rabbeinu complaining to Hashem and saying, Lama Haresh Lama Zeh, why did you do this to Klal Yisrael? Why did you send me? Especially when you understand that Hashem told him in advance what was going to happen. Hashem told him that I want you to go to Paray, I'm going to harden his heart, he's not going to listen to you, and I'm doing all of this so that eventually when I take you out, it'll be Biyad Chazaka, it'll be with all kinds of wonders and Nisim and Osas and Mofsim, and eventually Klal Yisrael will be redeemed with great wonders and with great miracles. So everything was foretold in advance. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu complaining about, and how do we understand Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Hashem in such a way?
So, right before that, he bumped into dust of Ravir. It's been a positive mood, I'm sure.
True.
So it could be he was in a bad frame of mind.
True, okay, but still, he's speaking to Hashem. So we have to understand, you know, I got to put things in perspective. He had a bad day, or he bumped into somebody, and they put him in a bad mood, but still, he's speaking to Hashem. So the Torah Tamima, on this set of psukim, the Torah Tamima refers to our Medrash and Parshas Kisisa and says that the same thing that the Medrash says to explain Moshe Rabbeinu's actions when he broke the Luchos can be used to understand what happened here. Klal Yisrael, not just Dasan and Vavirim, but Klal Yisrael were complaining, which meant that there was a lack of emunah and a lack of betachon on behalf of Klal Yisrael, which effectively was a kitrug, which was a, what's the proper word in English for a kitrug? There was a taina against Klal Yisrael because of their lack of emunah. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to lower his emunah as well and do an act that showed a lack of faith to show that if you're going to have a complaint against Klal Yisrael, I am joining their fate. And if you're going to forgive them, then if you're not going to forgive them, don't forgive me. And if you're going to forgive me, then you've got to forgive them too. So again, you see the same type of behavior where even though he took a lot upon himself by speaking to Hashem that way, it was an act of self-sacrifice. It was an act to help save Klal Yisrael. That's how the Torah Tamima explains the end of Parshas Shmos. Now if we can move on, another example of where this issue comes up is again in this week's parsha, believe it or not. After Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second set of luchos, we have the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachamim, the 13 midos, which are the highlight of the Yom Kippur Ne'ilah davening. And at the end of the Yud Gimel Midos, it says, at the end of the Pasuk, Poked Avon Ovas Albonim, Hashem remembers the sins of the parents onto the children, Val Bnei Bonim, Al Shalashim Val Ribayim, and to the second generation, the third generation, and the fourth generation. Meaning that Hashem remembers the sins of the parents onto the next generations, up to four generations. Right after it says, Al Shalashim Val Ribayim, the Pasuk says, Vayimaher Moshe hurried, vayikod arza, and he bowed down, vayishtachu, he bowed down to the ground. What was this hurrying all about? Why did he hurry? What was the rush? So the Eben Ezra, a very interesting Eben Ezra, he quotes, he doesn't say it's a medrash, he doesn't say it's a chazal, but he says that there are some people who want to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to cut off how far the punishment of Hashem would go. As soon as he heard second generation, third generation, fourth generation, he said, you know what, if I don't stop this and I let Hashem continue, it'll go to the fifth generation and to the sixth generation. So Vayimar Moshe, the Eben Ezra brings down such a suggestion, he rushed to stop, that it should stop at four generations, it shouldn't go on. So he almost, so to speak, interrupted Hashem, so it shouldn't continue. The Eben Ezra refers to this opinion as people with reike moach, empty minds. He says, reike moach amru, people with empty minds, say, ki miher Moshe kasher hizki ribei. Moshe Rabbeinu hurried up when he heard generation number four, shelo yamru chamush chimeshim, or chamushim, that he shouldn't say a fifth generation. V'zois tos gedoyle, it's a very terrible mistake to even suggest something like that. Why? Ki ein hadas sevelas, it doesn't make sense, it's not tolerable to imagine sheyifzik u'divrei Hashem, that he would cut Hashem off in mid sentence, v'yitshayim edaber, while he was still speaking. Ki hayu ben maves l'shatay, because he would be chayiv misa by doing that. So the Eben Ezra brings such a suggestion, refers to it as reike moach. What's interesting is that the Chassam Sofer and the Chida refer to this opinion of the what Eben Ezra calls reike moach as a medrash. What's fascinating is we don't know where this medrash is, and some of the commentaries here, you know, make a comment on the fact that they don't know where this medrash is, but nevertheless, the Chassam Sofer and the Chida and the Chassam Sofer brings down a Ramban seem to refer to this opinion as a valid opinion. And I'll tell you what the Chassam Sofer says. Chassam Sofer says, this is a very, very important Chassam Sofer, and it goes to the heart of what we're discussing here today. He says that there is some, what he calls Kedosha Elyon, very holy people, that they have no interest other than to serve Hashem. They have no self-interest. And he says that the Eben Ezra explains this opinion, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu cut Hashem off, so to speak, and he was willing to be chayev misa, as Eben Ezra says, in order to do something for the benefit of saving Klal Yisrael. And the Ramban on this Eben Ezra, and what's interesting again is the Ramban in the footnotes here, we don't know where this Ramban is, but the Ramban apparently commenting on the Eben Ezra says that it is appropriate for someone of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's understandable that he would be Moser Nafsho because of his love of Klal Yisrael to want to save Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban said, with this opinion that Eben Ezra knocks, that's an appropriate thing to say on Moshe Rabbeinu. So what the Eben Ezra says is impossible to even imagine. The Ramban says someone like Moshe Rabbeinu would do something like that. So you're right, it would be a terrible chutzpah to cut off while Hashem is speaking, but he was doing it to try and save Klal Yisrael, to help Klal Yisrael. And the Chassam Sofer extends this idea and says that this great character trait of Moshe Rabbeinu we also find in Aharon HaKohen, which again applies to this week's Parsha. Aharon HaKohen, when we look at his actions with regard to the Egel, it looks like he was just trying to delay Klal Yisrael by telling them, you know, go bring jewelry, and he figured, like Rashi says, that the women wouldn't want to part with their jewelry, and so therefore it would take time, and then that in that amount of time, Moshe Rabbeinu would come back, and everything would be fine. But the Chassam Sofer says that he wasn't just buying time. He figured, you know what, if it's going to happen, I want it to be on me. I want it to be on my cheshbon. Because as we know, Chazal tell us that when Chur stood up against the people that wanted to do the Egel, they killed Chur. And Aharon HaKohen said, there's a Medrash that says this as well, Aharon HaKohen said, you know what, if I stand up against Klal Yisrael, they'll kill me as well. But he wasn't concerned about himself being killed. He was willing to do that, Al Kiddush Hashem. However, the Medrash says that if they kill me, they would be killing a Kohen and a Navi Hashem, and that would be unforgivable. And Klal Yisrael would therefore do such a terrible chait that it would mean that they would be, have to be destroyed as a result of that. I'd rather that I do the chait, and I be chayiv misa, and Klal Yisrael should not be put in a position where they might actually come and kill me, and then they would have to be chayiv misa as a result of their actions. And what's interesting is that Chassam Sofer goes on to say that in Parshas Vayikra, there's a pasuk that says, Moshe tells Aaron, krav al mizbeach, you should come close to the mizbeach, and basically bring the karbanis v'chaper ba'adcho ba'ha'om, and you should, as a result of doing the avoda, the karbanis, Hashem should forgive yourself and Klal Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer says that the reason why Aaron was chosen to do the Avodah and to be the one to bring the sacrifices to save Klal Yisrael is because he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice himself. And that is why he was chosen, because of his actions by the Egel, that's why he was chosen to be the one to bring the Karbonis and to do the avoda and to be the Kohen Gadol. So the Chasam Sofer takes what the Evan Ezra says as a Reke Moach suggestion that unimaginable, and the Chasam Sofer says that not only is it something that is worthy of Moshe Rabbeinu in describing one of our greatest leaders, that is why that is what Aaron HaKohen did with the Egel, and that's why he was chosen to do the Karbanis, which ultimately is to help forgive Klal Yisrael. I'd like to extend this idea to one other place, and then we're going to try and elaborate on the justification, because at the end of the day, if Hashem tells you to do something, you have to follow His instructions. And granted, they had motivations of wanting to save Klal Yisrael, but who says that they're allowed to make those kinds of cheshbonos? How exactly does that work? So we'll try and get to that once we're done. But the last place that I wanted to discuss is the famous chet of Mei Meriva, which is ultimately why Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, because when Hashem had told him to speak to the rock when Klal Yisrael wanted water, Moshe Rabbeinu instead hit the rock. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu is not following Hashem's instructions. Why didn't he follow Hashem's instructions? What was his cheshbon there? So what's fascinating is that in the Tefillas HaGeshem that we say on Shemini Atzeres in Shul, where we daven for rain, so we start off by mentioning the Avos, that Hashem should remember them for his chus to bring the well-needed Geshem. So it talks about Avram, talks about Yitzchak, talks about Yaakov, then it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Zechor Moshe B'tevas Guma min Hamayim, the one who was drawn from the water in the box, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it says, Skulecha, your chosen nation, your Am Segula, a Samul Hamayim, when they were thirsty for water, Alaselahach, you hit the rock, he hit the rock, Vayetzumayim, and water came out. Bitzitka, in his merit, Choyin Chashras Mayim, give us water. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu's hitting of the rock was a chet. And that is the reason why he was not able to enter Eretz Yisrael. As much as he was mispalel in Parshas Veschana to enter Eretz Yisrael, he was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. What's that? So, good point. I was going to get to that in a minute. So it seems that we're mentioning something that was a chet. Now you can suggest, well, maybe that's not a problem because there were two situations where Moshe Rabbeinu got water from a rock. The first time was in Parshas Bashalach, where Hashem told him to hit the rock, and the second time was in Parshas Chukas, where Hashem told him to speak to the rock. So maybe in the Tefillas HaGeshem, where it says that he hit the rock and water came out, and remember his chus, maybe it's referring to the time where Hashem told him to hit the rock. Who says it's referring to the time where Hashem, by the Mei Meriva, told him to speak to the rock? So if you look at the two parshas, you'll notice that in Parshas Bashalach, it refers to the rock as a tzur, v'kisa batzur. If you look in Parshas Chukas, where by the Mei Meriva, it talks about the rock as a sela. And so the Tefillas HaGeshem is using very specific, very, I think, specific language here. It says the sela, al ha-sela hach, he hit the sela. So it seems to be referring to the second situation in Parshas Chukas, where he was told to speak to the rock, not to hit the rock, and nevertheless he hit it anyway. And that's the schus that we're asking Hashem to remember and give us Geshem. Now what was the schus? It was a chait, and because of that chait, he ended up not being able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So I saw in the Sefer, he says something fascinating. He said, why did Hashem want Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock? I mean, in Parshas Bashalach, it was okay to hit the rock. All of a sudden, in Parshas Chukas, Hashem wants him to speak to the rock. So what was Hashem's intent? And why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu listen? If Hashem told him to speak to the rock, he should have just spoken to the rock. So Rashi says, when Hashem says, he complains to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yan lo hemantem bi lakdisheni, because you did not trust in me to be mekadesh, to sanctify my name and follow my instructions, leina b'nei Yisrael, L'chein, therefore, l'saviu es hakol hazeh el haaretz. You will not be the ones to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says over there, l'hakdisheni, to sanctify my name. You didn't listen to sanctify my name. What kind of sanctification would there be? Hashem told him, speak to the rock and give water to Klal Yisrael. They were thirsty, they wanted water. So Rashi says that if you would have spoken to the rock, then you would have sanctified me as follows. Because Klal Yisrael would have to take a lesson and say, listen, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock. Now the rock is an inanimate object. It doesn't move, it doesn't respond, it doesn't hear, it doesn't need anything to support it. It just sits there. And it listens to Hashem's command. So we, Klal Yisrael, that Hashem takes care of us, we have needs, Hashem takes care of us and provides for us, we should definitely take an example from the rock's actions. And when Hashem speaks to us, we have to listen. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that that was Hashem's intent in wanting him to speak to the rock, to show a lesson to Klal Yisrael. But what if, God forbid, Klal Yisrael did not listen? Then it would be a tremendous kitrug once again. Here, an inanimate object, Hashem commands, give out water, it listens. And Klal Yisrael didn't take a lesson from the rock, and they did something wrong, and they didn't do what Hashem wanted them to do. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock at his own expense and sacrificing himself, doing something which was against what Hashem asked him to do. Again, so there shouldn't be a kitrug on Klal Yisrael, and he should be able to save them. So says the Itur HaTorah, brings down from a Sefer Yalkut Yehoshua, not sure who it is. He says that that is exactly the schus that we're mentioning about Moshe Rabbeinu by Tefillas HaGeshem. This attribute of Moshe Rabbeinu to be willing to sacrifice himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael is something that we mention as one of his great attributes that Hashem should remember and give us Geshem in that tzchus, even though it was an Aveira, even though he was punished for it. And by the way, this explains another pasuk that is difficult to understand. In Parshas Voschanan, after Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel many, many times that Hashem should allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem says, enough, don't be mispalel anymore, it's not going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayisabra Hashem bi lemanchem. Hashem was angry at me because of you. He speaks to Klal Yisrael. V'leshamai elai, he didn't listen to me. And that's why I'm not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why is he blaming Klal Yisrael? Hashem told him to speak to the rock, and he chose to hit the rock. So he's being punished for not listening to Hashem. But according to what we're saying now, the only reason Moshe Rabbeinu did what he did was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. He didn't want there should ever be a kitrug on Klal Yisrael if they didn't follow Hashem's instructions. So he was sacrificing himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means when it says that Hashem is angry with me, leman chem, because of you. What I did was because of you. And that's why I'm not able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So trying to understand this a little better, you know, it's great that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Karin made these cheshbonos to save Klal Yisrael, but I think there was more to it than just saying, I'm willing to sacrifice myself in order to save Klal Yisrael. I think the way they looked at it, and the Chassam Sofer is very clear when he explains it, there was more to it than just that. They viewed their actions as everything that they do, everything that happens in the world, there has to be a Kiddush Hashem that comes out of it, and there has to be a Kavod Shemayim as a result. Where would there be greater Kavod Shemayim? If Klal Yisrael was destroyed, or if Moshe Rabbeinu did an Aveira, and Moshe Rabbeinu was punished? There would not be Kavod Shemayim if Klal Yisrael was destroyed. If you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's words in Parshas Kisisa, when he pleads with Hashem, he said, Hashem says, Hanichali v'achalem, leave me and I will destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu appeals to Hashem and he says, why would you get angry with your nation, Asher Etzeisa Meretz Mitzrayim? You took them out of Egypt, B'koch Gadol V'yot Chazak, with such a mighty hand, with all of those miracles and signs. Lomu Yamru Mitzrayim Lemer, why should the Egyptians say, B'ro Ho'etziyom Laharigasam Beharim? Hashem took them out only to kill them in the mountains. Ulechalosam alpnei adama. So he was arguing, okay, they did something wrong, I understand. But what would happen, what kind of kavod shamayim would come about as a result? It would be a tremendous chilul shem shamayim. So therefore, his focus wasn't about himself. It was about where would there be the most kavod shamayim and the least chilul shem shamayim. And so therefore, what he did in saving Klal Yisrael was in effect to ensure that there would be kavod shamayim by Klal Yisrael continuing in existence. Any other person, when given the opportunity and told, you know what, I'm going to kill out Klal Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom, and I will build the nation through you. You will be the Avraham Avinu and we'll start a nation through you. What other person wouldn't say, wow, that's a tremendous opportunity. Great, okay, no problem. But that wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only was he selfless, as we've proven from all the Midrashim, but his ultimate decision factor in deciding what to do was where would there be greater kavod shamayim? And obviously having Klal Yisrael be destroyed as a result of the eagle after what happened in Egypt would be a tremendous chilul Hashem. And that was his focus. The same thing with all the other examples we gave. The example with the rock. He didn't want it to be a chilul Hashem because if Klal Yisrael was destroyed because of a terrible sin that they did, there would be a tremendous chilul Hashem. I understand. There are different explanations given as to why he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the mahalach that we're taking here today is to show that in many of these situations that we see Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, the way he spoke to Hashem and said, Lama ra'as olam hazeh, the fact that he took upon himself to break the luchos, the fact that he, according to the Evan Ezra, cut Hashem off in mid-sentence so that the punishment to Klal Yisrael should not continue, the fact that he hit the rock instead of spoke to the rock, this is all a manifestation of his selflessness and his focus on A, saving Klal Yisrael, not thinking about himself, but ultimately thinking about what would be the greater kavod for Hashem. And when I was thinking about this concept, I remembered there's a famous saying, and I think it ties in very well to this as well, that one of the famous Hasidic Rebbes, the Rebbe Rabbunim of Pshischa, who was, I think he was the Rebbe of one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, I forgot whichever one. So the Rebbe Rabbunim of Pshischa said the following. He said that if I had an opportunity to trade places with Avraham Avinu, would I do it? And he answered, no. He said, because what benefit would there be for Hashem? At the end of the day, there would still be one Avraham Avinu, and there would still be one Rebbunim of Pshischa. So you see this concept, which is hard for us to relate to. There was such selflessness, and it was all about where would there be a greater kavod Hashem? And that's how the Rebbe Rabbunim looked at it as well. What would Hashem gain out of me switching places with Avraham Avinu? It'd be great for me, maybe, probably, but there wouldn't be any benefit to Hashem. So therefore, he was trying to teach a lesson that your actions should be motivated by where would there be the greatest kavod Shemayim. So all of these cheshbonos that Moshe Rabbeinu made and Aaron HaKohen made, obviously it was considered a chet. Nevertheless, it also showed their greatness. And that's what we mentioned in the Tefillas HaGeshem. I think there was one other thing I wanted to say. Hold on. I don't
Where's
think
exactly?
It's right after the words Al Rebbeim. The notes of Chesed La'alafim is first. It says notes of Chesed La'alafim, and then it says Poket Avon Avis Albanim Al Shleish Al Rebbeim, and then it says right away Vayimahar Moshe. Correct. What took him so long? why did he stop before number four? I don't know. That's a good question. So I just wanted to conclude by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was not just the fact that he was the greatest Navi that ever lived, that Hashem spoke to him, panim el panim, the fact that he was the greatest anav that ever lived. It was also his willingness to sacrifice himself and do what was in the best interest of Klal Yisrael and was in the best interest of Hashem's honor, Hashem's kavod. And I think, by the way, you could probably see a relationship between the fact that he was the greatest anav that ever lived and this self-sacrifice. Because Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu's anivus was so great, greater than Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu said, "Vanochi alfar ve'efer," I'm like dust. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'nachnu ma," what am I? His self did not exist. And you see that in his actions. His self did not exist relative to Klal Yisrael's needs and relative to Hashem's needs. There was no self. His self never entered the equation. And that explains a lot of his actions, and that gives us a glimpse into the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, despite the fact that he was punished for some of these things, Hashem clearly tells him, Yashikoyach, for breaking the luchos. He was maskim, and he said, don't worry, I forgave you. The chet meimariva, he was not forgiven for. But all the other things, we find he's either forgiven, or we don't find that he was punished. The Gemara actually, there's an interesting Gemara that says, there's a concept of an aveira lishma. An aveira lishma means somebody does an aveira, but he does it l'shem shemayim. And the Gemara equates, first the Gemara wanted to suggest that it was greater than a mitzvah shelo lishma, that doing an aveira l'shem shemayim is on a greater level than a mitzvah shelo lishma. And then the Gemara concludes, no, it's equal. So putting things in perspective, even if we were to suggest, like the Midrashim tell us, that Moshe Rabbeinu, in some of these instances, did an aveira, it was an aveira lishma. An aveira lishma is equal to, according to the Gemara, a mitzvah shelo lishma, which means most of us, when we do mitzvahs, we can't, you know, honestly say that it's l'shem shemayim. There's definitely an element of shelo lishma. So putting things in perspective, even if you just suggest that there was an aveira done here, this aveira was done l'shem shemayim, and an aveira that's done l'shem shemayim is no worse than, it's equal to at least, a mitzvah that's done without the proper intent.
You see by the Mekashe Saints, it says in Targum Enosim there that they didn't know how to paskin, and he said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to purposely gather wood on Shabbos so that we know how to paskin this halacha. You see that he did a very lishma, he was zapped anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Gemara explains that he did it as a very lishma. So why was he punished? It's still an avera.
He got skill anyway.
He wanted to show what happens if you get caught.
That was part of the lishma. He had to show what the consequence would be. He wanted to show everybody what the ultimate punishment is. Well, he taught the lesson to Klal Yisrael. He taught them the lesson for future generations.
No, but he said that a real Lishma is like a mitzvah, Shlal Lishma.
But there is a punishment. I mean, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished too for the Meimariva. Okay, just wanted to share that with you, and you can have that in mind when you hear the reading of the parsha this week. And thank everybody for coming. Thank you very much.
The same thing. He said, you know, you're going to kill his stomach. I mean, it's the same thing. He wasn't doing it. He was trying to save Sdom. I mean, is that Lishma? I mean, is that an Avera Lishma there, too?
But over there, he wasn't speaking disrespectfully, though. He spoke very respectfully. He was apologetic every time he said, you know, forgive me, but I'm going to ask again.
No, but he asked him, are you going to kill innocent people with non-innocent? That's not very polite.
Right.
He says it straight
out. He also used a similar language, which seemed like his interest was, there shouldn't be a Chil Hashem. He said, Chalila lecha me'asos kadav razeh lehamis tzadik im rasha. Right? He didn't want that there should be a Chil Hashem if righteous people would be killed.
He's accusing him of doing it.
Listen, but Rashi tells us, so why did Hashem even notify him the fact that he was going to destroy Sodom? Because he wanted Avraham Avinu to be mispalo for them. So Hashem wanted him to be mispalo. So that's what he was doing.
In general, why didn't Moshe have part of his husband? He's going to do an Avera Lishma, but then everyone's going to learn from his Averis also. In other words, people would say, you don't have to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
So he wanted to show that
even in a very lishma, the people, but the people now understand. Hey, I don't know.
Even in a very lishma has consequences.
But I'm saying that it's indirect, whatever. Square.
Yeah. All right, we're done.